Frank Sinatra once said of his acting, "Everyone knows I have only one good take in me." That rare moment of self-deprecation was hardly accurate. He was the rare performer who could sing and act. Now there's a box set that weds the two talents called Frank Sinatra in Hollywood. Music historians Charles Granata and DJ Deutsch spent years rummaging through backlots and studio vaults, unearthing the elements of Frank Sinatra's movie recordings. They co-produced these six new CDs of songs and now take us on a musical tour.
In the very first couple of films that he made, he was either cast as the band singer for the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra, or he was cast as the Frank Sinatra singer.
That's right. It's important to remember that Frank Sinatra was a band singer when bands were meant for dancing. And you can just imagine these dancers on the dance floor at the Hotel Astor with Tommy Dorsey playing that lovely interlude of Dolores and Frank Sinatra framing it with the vocal chorus in the beginning and in the end.
I would die to be with my Dolores,
to be near her eye, eye, eye,
Dolores.
The films really gave him that national visibility. You know, Sinatra was obviously a recording artist and had a lot of success with his recordings at Columbia Records at the time. He then became a very prominent radio artist, but it was really the films that put him front and center because now it wasn't just a matter of listening to Frank Sinatra, you could see him.
There's a somebody I'm longing to see. I hope that she turns out to be someone who'll watch over me.
What they would do is pre-record all of the musicians and the singers.
So they were really lip-syncing, and in fact they were lip-syncing for all these dozens of movies.
Absolutely.
Yes, of course.
Now that's important for us because many of those original recording elements are gone. They've just simply disintegrated because they were recorded on nitrate film. And in many instances, the only source that we had were those playback discs that were made for the artists like Sinatra to practice to. So that little technological thing ended up working in our favor because in some instances, that's the only source we have are those pre-recording playback discs.
Without the sound effects, without the dialogues, it was flawless, and that's the way we wanted it to be on the box set itself.
You see a pair of laughing eyes, and suddenly you're sighing sighs. You're thinking nothing's wrong, you string along, boy, then snap. Those eyes, those sighs, they're part of the tender trap. Just gotta let it settle a little bit.
When Frank Sinatra stepped before the microphone to do these pre-recordings, he was very careful to make the best recording that he could of the actual song during the pre-recording session. It's when he stepped on to the film stage and had to actually act out that scene and lip sync that he became very impatient. So, you know, we have this real dichotomy between Sinatra, the recording artist, whether it's in the commercial recording studio or on the film soundstage, really being relentless in his pursuit of perfection in terms of what went on the record. And then when he stepped before the camera, he was just the opposite. One or two takes and that was it. And he would literally walk off the set if he felt that he had given his best effort.
Since virtually all of these songs were pre-recorded, what is the special pleasure of hearing the movie versions rather than the versions that were recorded in a studio of many of these same songs that have been available for years and years and years?
The first difference, I suppose, is that in many cases, the orchestrations and the techniques were different. I think that in the movie versions, there is a greater spontaneity. Most people who have seen the movies were exposed to those versions as opposed to the studio versions. No studio recording could have matched that exhilarating feeling you get when you see the visual married to the sound itself. So having the songs now on a CD helps you recreate, if you want, the excitement of that first scene.
I'd like to use the film Pal Joey as an example, because in that film, the orchestral setting was far different than the commercial recordings that Frank Sinatra made at Capitol Records. And if you see the film, you're kind of captivated by this very charming, small jazz combo that backs Frank Sinatra on songs like There's a Small Hotel from that film. And when you listen to those film performances and you compare them to the commercial recordings, there's just an effervescence and a spontaneity, as Didier said, that just can't be matched by the studio recordings. These are just of the moment.
There's a small hotel with a wishing well. I wish that we were there together.
And his earlier films, he was very typecast. He was the crooner. And he played the innocent in films like On the Town and Anchors Away and Take Me Out to the Ball Game. But then when Sinatra changed vocally and kind of hit his peak in the early 50s and went to Capitol Records and became more of a sophisticated swinger, singing with Nelson Riddle and these great, you know, swinging charts, the film roles changed. He was doing Pal Joey.
Before that, he became the Kissing Bandit.
Right. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's Joey, the swinger. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, as he entered yet another phase of his musical development in the early 60s, it was reflected in the film roles that he was doing. You know, the farcical atmosphere of Robin and the Seven Hoods and Sergeant's Three and Ocean's 11. You know, it was really Frank settling into his wizened years, having a great time.
Yeah.
What tune would you have us go out on?
One of the songs that really became Frank Sinatra's signature song, The Lady is a Tramp.
The Lady is a Tramp.
And
that's
this
true.
Is, I mean, yeah, acknowledged yeah, as yeah, the yeah, very best yeah, version yeah. he ever did.
She gets too hungry for dinner at 8.
Charles Granata and Didier Deutsch produced the new box set of CDs, Frank Sinatra in Hollywood, 1940 to 1964.